I want to jump into James for a second before I get back on the text we have been working on faith. But I'm going to be in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And if you're here on Bible study on Wednesday night, be kind of familiar with it. That's where we was at last Wednesday night. But to tell you, a key word here for us who are following Jesus, it starts off really, really simple. Very a powerful word. One word. At the very beginning of verse 7 in chapter 4, it says, submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. But you know how powerful that is. And it jumped out at me Wednesday night as Carol was teaching. Are you a follower of Jesus? You know, this is a question. Then submit, therefore, to God. Hey, Becky, come here a second. Oh, here. Have a seat. That's it. I know. They're only $1 bills, sorry. I'm a preacher. But what she just did, she obeyed me. She submitted to the authority I have over as a pastor. Okay, I just said, Becky, come up here. And she said, no, I'm going up here. Pastor, come on. I got the wrong shoes on tonight. People see my shoes or, you know, all this kind of stuff. Oh, I don't have my white coat on. I got my green, you know. But no, you came on up here. Boom. And because of that, you were able to get blessed. And folks, it goes back to us as Christians, as following Jesus Christ. The number one thing is submit. What do you submit to? Submit yourself to His Word. And be obedient. And know that He has only the best for us. Right. Now, I would assume, Becky, you didn't think I was going to try to embarrass you up here or harm you or anything, right? You weren't quite sure what this preacher man is going to do. He's half nuts. But you knew that it would work out okay for you, right? Okay. And that's where God wants us to be at with our relationship with Him. Okay, He wants us to have a. I mean, I am nobody compared to God. Okay, if you can trust something wrapped in flesh, how much more can you trust God? You know, I mean, there's no question about it. And God only wants the best for us. But we need to do, number one, is submit. It's more than just saying a couple words, saying, "Lord, come into my life." Okay, it's okay. Once He has come into your life, now submit yourself to His authority, to His Word, and just be obedient to Him. Remember how faith comes? Remember that? Faith is in God's Word. If you have faith, it's going to produce what? Obedience. And the obedience is going to what? Produce blessings. His Word. And so, He tells us to submit to Him, then resist the devil, is number one. So, submitting to Him is when you hear something in the Word of God, and you know sin, okay? Oh, Lord, okay. That's sin. Okay. I'm going to get out of that. And Satan said, oh, I'm going to hang on to you for a while, okay? But he says resist. That means there's going to be a struggle going on there. You're going to have to fight with it, okay? But he said, come on, submit to me. And you might be fighting for quite some time, but don't give up. Sooner or later, he says, Satan will get tired of you resisting him. He's going to go somewhere else, okay? It's kind of like, I don't know, what's some things you might be addicted to? No baked cookies, okay? No baked cookies. I want a no-bake cookie. And I know, you know where to get one for me. I know that. Okay? So I say, come on, Lori. I want a no-bake cookie. He said, no, I'm not going to give you a no. Come on. I'm going to hang on to you. He said, get away from me and see the fight going on. Sooner or later, I'm saying, I want a no-bake cookie so bad. I'll go over here. I'll go to Steve. As you resist me, finally, I'm going to leave you and go somewhere else. Why? Because I need that no-bake cookie. Okay? Satan is the same way. The demons are the same way. The spirits that attack us, whether it be pornography, be alcohol, be drugs, it could be nicotine, it could be anything. Okay? It has to feed off of us. Spirit of depression. Depression can go so bad in a person that they actually the spirit of a suicide will come over them, okay? And it won't stop until it's fed, until it destroys the person. And then it's not satisfied, it'll go to the next person. And what we need to do is resist, resist, Resist. Resist. And sooner or later, and how do we resist? Let's take depression. How do we resist the depression? God's word, right? God's word. If you've ever been depressed, man, it's hard to get out at times. You hit rock bottom, you know. And sometimes you can't. It has to be somebody else to get you out of it. And how do they do that? Speaking to you. Speaking the word of God unto you. And reminding who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's why he wants us encouragement. That's why it's so important you all come here into fellowship. Because that way you can be encouraged with one another. Okay? Because the Bible says you're not going through anything that one of us hasn't went through before. Okay? And I'm not going through stuff that you haven't been through before. You see what I'm saying? And so, man, Steve survived it. I can survive it. Okay? And I don't say it's wrong. If Steve can survive with no legs of his own, I can do that. You follow me on that? I mean, it can be, you know, I know purposely you didn't want to give up your legs, but it took place, right? But look at you today. Up here, think you'll be walking and running right now, okay? So, if my time would come, man, I'm going to lose my leg. Oh, man. That's going to be depressing. Man, I don't. But you know what happens? Here comes Steve. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you. I didn't like going through it, but I made it through. And look at me today, man. God, that plan and purpose he had for me. I'm sitting in church today. I'm praising the Lord. I'm studying the Bible. I get this peace in my life. He'll do the same for you. As he shares that with me, whoo, I shake free from that spirit of depression come over me. I get raised up. Then, someday, I'll encounter that with someone else. And so let me tell you what the Master did for me. Okay? That's why it's so important, this fellowship that we come together on, to hear testimonies and be encouraged with one another. But he says to resist. He gives us strength, okay? But as we submit to God, and you know that God only wants the best for you, and when you hear something that he says to do or not to do, just do it. And when Satan says, I ain't going to give you up, you just keep saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to say that. I'm done with that. Resist him. As we do our part, he guarantees it, Satan will flee. Because he's not happy unless you're unhappy. Okay? And I don't think he's not even happy then. You know, he's a miserable,
evil.
Yeah, until the day of his total annihilation. Yes. But it says, as you draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wow, as he sees you coming to him, he takes a step to you. As you come to him, I won't step on your toes, I see that, okay? But man, that shows you he wants that relationship with us, okay? Now, how do we draw closer to God? By submitting to his word, right? He said, man, that Steve really wants something here, don't he? I'll just get a little bit closer to him, okay? Well, does he really want me? And here you are reading the word some more. You're doing this, come and study, whatever it might be. A little bit closer to you. Because he wants you to find out about him.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I've dated a couple of ladies in my day before we were married, okay? But I never watched one of them. Hey, you want to go out tonight? And before I picked her up, she told me everything in her life, everything in her past, everything she likes, everything she dislikes, her goals in her life, all this stuff. No. I was lucky we got her phone number. You know, we'll hear her call me sometime. She waited until I drew closer to her. This guy just wanted to take me out tonight and look cool and drive in his car or what, you know. But as I would draw closer to him, and that never happened until I drew closer to Carol. First time I met Carol, she didn't give me her she probably yelled at me, probably.
What?
The first day I seen her, I said, I'm going to marry that lady. But as she sees that I was getting interest in her, and more of an interest in her, and more of an interest get coming around with her and stuff, she would start revealing more of herself to me, because intimacy, and I'm talking about... It was thoughts inside of you. Wow. You just don't share them with anybody. Because you can hurt big time. You can share stuff inside of you with people. They can grab that. Next thing you know, tell everybody else. And you're embarrassed. You're hurt. Okay? But when they see you getting closer and closer, then she starts coming closer, starts revealing herself to me more and more and more. And here we are 41 years later. Okay? Well, see, God's the same way.
Yeah.
He reveals himself more and more to us as we draw closer and closer to him. As more that you submit yourself to him, the more he'll reveal yourself to you. And his word will come greater understanding to you. Not that he hides it from you, but the closer you get to him, the more you'll understand him. And boy, the next thing you know, you're this big, powerful follower of Christ walking around with, man, victory every place that you go. Now, I'm assuming that's what you want. I would think that's what you want to do. I mean, when you decided one day, basically, you want to marry Jesus. And so when you said your wedding vows, Lord, come into my life. I accept the forgiveness you pay for my sins. Come into my life, be my Lord and my Savior. That was your wedding vow. Boom. So now you want to follow him. Now, if you don't want, there's no problem with that, okay? If you don't want Jesus, I mean, breaks his heart. But don't let anyone force you to. Don't let people make you come in here and sit here when you don't want to be here. Okay? No. But God's glad you're here. Whatever he brought you here tonight, he's glad that you're here. That you hear about him, hear his word. And know that he only has love for you. And he has the best that he wants for you. Okay? But what he wants us to do, and what he needs from us, his church, is for us to submit to him more today than we ever have in the last 2,000 years. Because he's depending upon us to do his work upon this earth. There's a lot of souls out there right now in turmoil. A lot of people right now are headed to hell, and they're cheering about it on national TV because they don't know. They've been fed a bunch of lies. And if you're here today and you're following Christ, those lies that you once lived have been revealed to you, and you stepped away from it, you repented from it. And so now you're the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus. And that's a great responsibility we have, but awesome. The difference that we can make in our lives and people's lives. I know sometimes what we get into as a Christian, you're so afraid that your past will come up and bite you, right? That thing that you confessed to Jesus, and you told him, man, of course you already knew that you did it anyway. But when you confess your sins, and say, Lord, thank you for giving me of this, the next thing you're afraid that sin, man, is going to come back up, and it's going to haunt you. You're afraid that, man, this is going to destroy me. If everyone ever found out what I just repented from, it's going to destroy me. Man. God will be mad at me. Well, God will be mad at you. He already knows it. Amen? So he gives you a promise right here in Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So he'll work it for good. Amen? Now, for good could be to the point where it's teaching others not to do the same thing, okay? He'll use it for good. He'll take your past that he bought from you with his blood and use it for good. And by doing that, it's going to uplift you, knowing that this evil thing that haunted you at one time in your past is now being used to slay the dragon that is trying to slay you. Amen? Because we don't have to worry about the past as a born-again Christian. It's gone, okay? It might come up here. It might be on the front page of the paper tomorrow. I don't care. Amen? Because I'm only here temporary. And if you're talking about me, they're leaving Donnie alone, right? Amen? And if they're talking about Donnie, they're leaving Renee alone. Okay? So don't ever get to the point to let Satan blackmail you with your past. What do you mean blackmail you? He'll say, hey, you better not witness today then, people. Remember what you used to do? He'll try to do that, right, Donnie? Yeah, he says a blackmail. Hey, watch out. Well, who's greater in you? Jesus or Satan? Jesus is. Amen. Don't let him shut down your testimony. We can't change the past, only the future. Okay? But he'll cause these things to work good for those who love him. And so if we don't love him, we're slaughter to the hogs, okay? But we have a desire for him. He'll work it out for us. Yeah. Don't let it shut you down. And he says, tells us also, as Christians, that the faith that we have in God, it should cause us to have works. Amen? Not just to sit at home in the dark when you're able to come out. Have works. Sharing the gospel. Okay, we never get to heaven by your works. But we get rewards in heaven for our works. But having faith in Him. Okay? And have works. Oh, and faith would be, well, I know the Word of God is true. And I know you're ailing right now. Hey, can I pray for you? See my faith I have in God's Word? Okay? And my works is going, hey, you want me to pray for you? Now, He might tell me no. Okay? But did I just offer? Because of my faith I have in the Master. Okay. That's faith, and that is works. Okay. Even though he might not receive that, God said, well, thank you, Starkey. And maybe tomorrow he might change his mind. Yeah. Or next week. Yeah. Yeah. Plant that seed. Because if we truly believe that we are born again, we truly believe that we were headed to hell and we're not anymore, man, that will motivate us to do more and more in sharing the gospel with people. With people. That's what God wants us to do. And he says in verse 15 and 16 of James chapter 2, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you that earlier. I'm in chapter 2, James chapter 2, yeah. Well, I just quoted you 14, but now I'm in 15 and 16, okay? And what he's showing us in the church, a follower of Christ, is that, you know, as we gather and we see that someone has a need, another brother, sister, and Lord has a need, and we have the ability to meet that need, man, we can't say, hey, have a blessed day. Oh, you need food for the night, and you need this. Okay, well, hey, man, God bless you. I hope you have a great night. You know, take care. I'm going home to my cozy chair and turn on my color TV. And when I have the means, I've got extra food in the cupboard here, and I have a means to meet that need. Wow. If I don't meet that need, then that's a sin. But he's talking to the church, Donnie. He's talking to believers coming together. The very beginning, when the church started, they went out and stored everything they had that they didn't need the extra stuff. And they came in and shared it with other believers in the Lord. Okay? They didn't take it out on the street corner and say, hey, who wants my money? Then they come together, right, Donnie? And they share, man, you need some? Oh, you need a pair of boots? I got two pair of boots at home. Wow. Take my boots. That's what the church is all about. Okay? And again, I mean, when we are born again, that should be a part of us right away in our nature. Okay, to share. Like someone was talking, Becky was talking about Steve earlier. Gossiping about Steve. Out at the fair the other day, and somebody was talking about food, needing food or whatever. He said, oh, well, I'll tell you what. There's a church down on Main Street. They got some meat they give you. Just, you know, you didn't have meat on you, did you? You had no meat in your freezer at home, but he knew where to get it at. He shared that. He could say, well, have a good day. I hope you get something to eat, you know, and just go on about your way. But you had a way of meeting that obligation. And that brings the Lord glory because it's down here at the church, okay? Or if you had something in your freezer, here, I got an extra pack of sausage here, whatever. That's just what we do. Again, one another, brothers and sisters, because the world will come in. We are to testify to the world, but the world will come in and take everything and leave with it. And what God is doing is he's taking care of his folks. Number one. Then in the surplus, we take care, we share God's love. Okay? But he says in verse 17 there of James 2, he says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Okay? So, if we truly believe that everything we have belongs to God, okay? And God moves upon your heart to do something with it, and you say, wait, I'm not going to do that. Oh my, no. God, you want me to give my coat away? You just gave it to me yesterday. Well, if he gave you one yesterday, can't he give you one tomorrow? Okay, have faith. Brother or sister needs it, you give it to him, right? Having faith. I've never given anything away that God hasn't gave back to me. You know, just time and time again. And you all can, I'm the nobody special, you all can testify to the same thing, you know. It's just having faith and knowing. When the Holy Spirit moves upon you and says, you need to do this, you just do it, you know. I remember, kind of coats are one of my thing here. Of course, we give a lot of coats away, but I had a lady come in one day, and she was cleaning out her closet, and she had a coat she wanted to give me. And it was a monstrous Cleveland Browns stadium coat. And I love the Browns. Oh, man, I never had one of these coats in my life. You know, oh, wow, I can't wait. And the lady brought it in. She had a whole handful of stuff. And I'll never forget, she's coming in here and she's carrying it. And I thought, oh, man, my coat. I mean, I'd be excited about it. I know you might not like the Browns, but I'd get excited about this coat. And she gets right to here. And another person in the church goes, oh, that stuff, you get rid of it. Oh, she said, yeah, I'm cleaning out the closet. And they jumped up, ran over, and grabbed that coat. So, oh, my son will love this. Yeah. Oh, so I did what we were supposed to do. I grabbed a chair and beat over the head. I said, no. I didn't say a word. I'm not going to, oh, wow. And, oh, wow, yeah, he'll like that, you know. And it was probably 2 days, 3 days later, Cleveland Browns coat and a Cleveland Indians coat came in and gave to me, okay? And so again, I'm not bragging on myself. You all would do the same thing too. A guy came in one day and needed a pair of boots, wintertime. And the day before, an old school teacher of mine came in and gave me a pair of these Red Ring boots. I mean, they're really nice boots. And I had them on up there, and this guy, he had tennis shoes on, falling apart. Man, you got any boots? I said, what size you wear? He told me. My size. There you go, worm. And what happens? More boots come in again. And so it just, yeah, when we realize everything I have belongs to God. Now, he won't have you give everything away. He won't see us in our birthdays. He's seen that before, okay? But when you say everything's mine, mine is yours, Lord, and he's just looking for a reason to bless you more and more like that, okay? So, again, he'll give you the sermon of the Holy Spirit or tell you what to do. But when we say, God, I'm yours, everything I have belongs to you, then he will give you the opportunity to build your faith, and then watch him move. I mean, it just, it's just amazing having that faith in him. Now, one thing that can hinder our movement with God is sin in our life, right? I mean, that's what we'll say. And one of the common sins that we see a lot of, we talked about it earlier also, is complaining. Do you know complaining is a sin? Don't. Somebody complain, all right, right now. Ah, you're going to preach about that, isn't it? No, I'm sharing this with you. I want you to understand what God says about complaining. Because if we're complaining about stuff, we're doing ourselves an injustice. We're blocking God from working on our behalf. Amen? Because the Bible says that sin closes the ears of God. Doesn't mean that, oh man, I sin right now, that means I'm going to hell. No, it means that you just lost your communications with God until we repent from it. Okay? Kind of like if my wife and I, she get in an argument, okay? And she quits talking to me. Until what? I apologize. Okay? It doesn't mean we're still not married, right? It still doesn't mean that she won't feed me tonight. But if I'm in the wrong, she knows she's aggravated because of what I said or did or shouldn't have done. Now I know, okay, I shouldn't have done it. I opened my mouth up. I should have said something different. Well, I can sit there all night long and say, well, I'm not going to apologize. I was in the right. Or do I want that little, hey, honey, so I apologize. Hey, sorry. Boom. And God's the same way with us, okay? He's the same way with us. And so if you got your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4 if you want to. Because I don't want you to think, well, the pastor says I can't, we shouldn't. It's God's Word that tells us this, okay? And there's a way of complaining, stating the facts, and another way of complaining. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, we're instructed to do all things without grumbling or disputing. So you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, to be children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So number one, it goes back to you that we are the light in the world. We have to be shining our light in this darkness. But he says, do all things without grumbling and disputing. Wow. that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent. And so we want to please God, right? Isn't that our desire, to submit to Him? It's a way of saying, hey, quit grumbling. He's saying, quit complaining. Complaining never has changed anything. Now, you can have a conversation. You can state the facts with a person and change things. But me sitting here complaining to Lori about how Steve cooks hamburgers won't change a thing. But will. Go to Steve. Okay? Most of the time, complaining that I hear is about other people. And if people won't go to that person and talk to him directly, don't talk to other people about it.
Right.
I mean, that's complaining, that's gossiping, that's all kind of. But just showing you right here where we get ourselves in trouble a lot, because the world loves to complain. And it isn't so easy to get wrapped up in it. I mean, honestly, guys, I mean, none of us ever got angel wings on, right? But you can have a great day, you're coming in, you know, wherever. Hey, I'm having a great day. Well, I'm glad you are, I'm not. What's the matter? Well, I'll use one from the other night. I was checking out in line. And here's the guys who are complaining. And I'm sitting there, I'm getting stuff for the church. Oh, I'm having a great time, talking to some lady and stuff. And this guy at the checkout starts grumbling. It's not right. And what happened was, I mean, I don't know how it works, but he gets $16 a month for food stamps. I mean, I don't know. That's not much money at all. But they cut him. They cut him down to $15. He was 63 cents short. I don't know how they adjusted things and stuff. But he's just complaining about this and that. And of course, I'm back here a couple rows back and thinking, I understand, a couple people back, yeah. And this is my thought process. I understand you can be upset. Number one, yelling at the clerk isn't going to change anything. And number two, my friend, I have no card in my pocket. Okay? So I want you to thank God that you still have $15.47. Okay? And I think if he would recognize that, God, everything I have belongs to you, everything that comes to me comes through you first. He said, well, Lord, I don't know why you cut it back, but I know you take care of things. And this little lady beside him, and getting ready to check out, she says, oh, I'll take care of that for you. And of course, I'm staying in the back couple from her. I said, miss, and I have my money. Hey, listen, let me take care of it, okay? She said, well, you're Pastor Starkey, aren't you? I said, well, yes. Well, I've been in your church a couple of times. I said, oh, awesome. I said, listen, I appreciate your heart. You want to help him out? But I already got the dollar bill out here. I'll just go ahead and take care of that, you know. And but it blessed me that she was willing to step in to help him out. And then he even went outside and grumbled to my wife for a little bit about it, you know. And again, God's looking for people with a joyful heart to recognize, man, oh, God, thank you. Hey. Okay, Lord, I got to put my gun back. I can't get it today, but thank you. I got this or that. You know, He wants us to be that way, not to complain, not to grumble. I mean, have you ever given your kids anything that you thought, man, they really like it, and they grumble about it, Carol White? Have you? You think, oh, man, I can't wait to get home, and you know, I'll give this to my kid, and you give it to him, and they think, oh, chocolate, I want a vanilla. You know, or, what? This doesn't want you to give them anything else, does it? You're going to be ungrateful about it. But when you bring it to them and you hand it to them and say, oh, Dad, that you shouldn't do that. That costs $3. You should have saved your money. Oh, no, son, I don't want to get it for you. Oh, Dad, thank you so much. You think it blesses the Father that the Son recognized the sacrifice that the Father went through for the Son? And as things prosper in their relationship, how much more with the Father is pleased giving to their children. And our God is the same way. When we recognize that we are in compliance with God, that everything that we receive comes from God. Man. I mean, we say, yo, Lord, thank you. I got $15 in my pocket. Awesome. Wow. Next month, hey, they recalculated. I'm supposed to get increased by $2. And, yeah, just things like that. Yeah, just some little things. But it's not hard. I mean, quickly, people in there started complaining about the government. I mean, I'm not. Our government's not perfect, but yes, yeah, contagious so quickly. You know, I can come in here and say, You see the way Carol White drove the other day? I'm telling you what. Right now, so yeah, she about ran over top of me. Lori said, ran over top of me. I don't get on the road anymore. Okay? See how quick it is? Or I might complain to you, and they'll say, whoa, I'm going to tell you something. No, I think she's a cautious driver. Donnie said, well, I remember one time she stopped for me, let me out in traffic. Not to be afraid, you know, to turn it around. Right. Turn it around. And sometimes it could be, wow, in that case, we better pray about her, right? Okay? Just bring it around that way, okay? To be that light, what God wants us to be, and not to complain. Yes, in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And Brother Paul tells us, now, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means and also how to live in prosperity. So he said the main thing he has learned to be content. Can everybody say content?
Content.
Content. And that's a very powerful word, man. To be content with what you have today. Doesn't mean that you can't change the circumstances. But be content right now. Man, hey, I want a T-bone dinner tonight, but I got a turkey hot dog. Thank you, Lord, for the food. I'm content. I like to have it, but I'm content with what I have. Doesn't mean that if Becky called me on the phone, hey, man, any chance you'd trade me a turkey hot dog for a T-bone steak? Yes, I will. I don't say, well, Becky, I'm sorry, but I'm content with my hot dog. You know, no, I'll increase it, but I'm content with it. Just thank God that I have it. You know, be content with what you have doesn't mean you can't want something different in your life. Okay, and the only illustration I had, I shared this Sunday. Some of you might have Sunday. Somehow we got backwards. Normally, Friday night message is what I use on Sunday. But we got turned around, and Sunday message is what I have on Friday. So some might sound familiar, but just so happened I was walking Main Street the other night. I got behind a couple, and I've seen him for a while. He stopped in here a couple of times. Really nice folks. But ended up having a conversation. He's going to get cans out of the dumpster, or out of the trash thing up here, you know, just picking them up. I mean, I know he's got a job somewhere. But anyway, they're ahead of me, and I get closer to him. I hear him talking back and forth about money and that kind of stuff. And finally catch up with him. We start talking. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, you know. And I don't know. I said, a lot of sirens out there tonight. And I said, well, there has been a lot of sirens. This was, I think, Saturday night. And I don't know what was going on. And then we was talking about emergencies and stuff. And I said, hey, you guys been out at the fair yet? No, they ain't been out at the fair. It costs $10 to get in there. I said, yeah, I know it does. Yeah, she said, I don't mean to say she, but this person's. Anyway, says, yeah, it's ridiculous. $10 to get in there. How do they expect people to afford to get in the fair? I said, yeah, I know. I said, oh, are you drinking a sweet tea from Tim Hortons? She had this tea in her hand. She said, oh, no, it's from the sports zone. I said, oh, okay. And no problem. You know, it's a sweet tea. But she goes on and she says, yeah, this is ridiculous. She says, I don't know how they expect people to get in the fair at $10. I think, yeah, well, you know, every year the fair comes around October, right? Okay. And she said, it should be cheaper. I said, well, she said, I don't even ride rides. I said, I understand that. But this way I look at it, I'm not saying I'm right, but you know, it costs $10 to get in because I don't ride rides either, but it's a price. If we all pay it, those who want to ride can afford to ride. And who rides? Normally kids, right? And if you're raising kids, it takes a lot of money. So we all pay $10 and say, Lord, you had to pay $20 a kid to get in. We all pay the same. Okay, it's kind of like carrying each other's burdens, I guess, that way. Yeah. Well, yeah, but still, how can you get $10? Okay. The fair is going to be here next year. Take 80 cents a month, put it in an envelope, and when the fair comes around, you can get in. Or be content with not going. Now, you can change it, okay? But if you don't want to change it, be content where you're at. That's what Paul is saying, okay? Be content. So, this year you can't go to the fair. I'm okay with that. But next year, I want to change things. I'm putting my 80 cents a month in an envelope. See? But yeah, count the cost. You know, that 80 cents every month going in there. But most people, a lot of people rather complain instead of change things. The power is in her hands to change it. Does she want to change it or complain about it? Okay? And what God, what Paul is telling us, or God is telling us really through Paul, saying, be content. If we're a follower of Jesus, what we have comes from the Lord. Thank you, Lord, I have this today. It doesn't mean I don't want my circumstances to change. Hey, I'm content that I'm sleeping maybe under a bridge tonight, or I'm content I'm in a tent tonight. Thank you, Lord. But it doesn't mean that I don't want a regular house, okay? But till I get there, now I'm going to be content in that and not complain about it, you know, because most of the time when we complain about things, a lot of times it's our own doing. Sometimes, not all the time, but a lot of times it is. So Paul says, man, learn, be content. And when you have lean times, be content. But man, when you're prosperous, enjoy it also. Okay? Then Ephesians 4:29. We're going to get about another 3 hours, guys. Yeah. Well, what God wants to do, we're content. Yeah, content to throw the pastor out. But again, His Word is given to us, guys, for we allow His Word to work in our life the way He wants it to. That way we'll be more victorious and we'll live a life more joyful. Even through hard times, we'll be more joyful and have that power that He wants us to have. And as you read some of this, think, oh, wow, that's me. I'm never content. I'm always grumbling about stuff. Wow, sorry, Lord. Wow. We can walk out here today closer with God. By admitting to me, man, I've blown it. You know, I didn't realize that. I just thought being an American, I'm allowed to grumble all the time. Now, again, don't let Satan get in your head. It doesn't mean you can't go to work tomorrow and file a complaint, file a grievance. You can do that, okay? You can change things. But let's say you're working, and you sit around the break room, and you complain all the time of what the company's doing, okay? You're complaining about God. If you're a Christian, because He put you there. If you're a Christian, you've been called to be a witness. Meaning, you can sit there and everybody else complains. Well, I know, I wish I made more money too, but you know, I'm content. I just thank God I've got a job. Doesn't mean you can't file a grievance through the union and say, listen, we need a wage increase. Do it properly, do it politely, you know. I mean, if Lori, the manager, I come in there and say, listen, I demand $40 more a week. Think you don't listen to me as management? No. No. Here comes Judy Cunyon. Say, can I talk to you? Is there any way we can get maybe increase? I mean, I've been watching the stock market. Your profits increase. We're having a tough time down there. You know, can you consider that? Okay, we'll get back with you. Well, who's she going to listen to? Chances are Judy, okay? And Judy's content. She wants more, but she's content where she's at. It's like every one of us. Somebody comes in screaming at you. You're on your defense right away, aren't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously. Hey, give me some food, will you? Something to drink right now. I want a donut, okay? I want it right now. Wow. You'd be like, okay, what are we going to do here? This isn't quite normal. Well, to God, it's not quite normal when we complain about Him. But He says in Ephesians 4:29, is it hot in here or just me? Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. No unwholesome word. Otherwise, man, whatever we're saying, it has to be uplifting. It has to be a word of encouragement, or like we studied a while back in Bible study, to be the peacemaker, to bring something in that's going to bring peace into the situation. That when everyone else is complaining, from you comes a gentle word, a peaceful word. But nothing unwholesome. So we got to think about when you're ready to talk. If what I'm saying is going to be encouraging or at least polite, you know? Because God's counting on us. We are His voices here in the world. And everything we say as a confessing to be a born-again Christian, it goes back to Jesus. Remember, last Friday my wife got cussed out up here. She probably didn't share that Friday night, did you? Did you share that, did you? Okay. Yeah, I mean, somebody beating on the door wanted in here at 4 o'clock to eat. Well, my rule is, if the ladies here by themselves, doors are shut, no one's coming in. And she came around the corner to see who it was, and, hey, I'm hungry. She said, well, we're not open yet. And the guy just went off and saying, well, I thought you were Christian and cussing this and all that. Oh, my lands. Yes. So, yeah, we just, I mean, that's not the unwholesome word coming out, you know. But, you know, she didn't retaliate. As far as I know, she didn't throw nothing at the guy. But that happens. That's the world. That's how the world reacts. You know, and I'm not sure who the gentleman was. She gave me a description of the guy, and someday we might have a conversation, a Christian conversation about speaking to my bride that God's given me for 41 years that I love and watch over, and let the guy come to the point where he would want to repent from what he's done and ask my wife for forgiveness. God wants that to take place. The old Stark, he wants to take him behind the building and beat that, okay? But God doesn't. He wants us to come again. Yeah. Again, because people is always watching Christians, and they think we supposed to be a certain way all the time. And when we're not doing what they want us to do, they go off. So it goes back again. People are watching us. They're hearing every word that you say, every word that I say, and they relate our lives to Jesus. So whatever we've done, they're saying, well, must be a Christian. And so, which is awesome, when we're following the Lord, man, we let that light shine. But when you get to the point and you blow it, don't be afraid to say you blew it. Wow, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian, Margaret. Okay. Well, I am, Pastor. But I'm not perfect. I blew it. When someone says I blew it, how much more can you argue? They've already confessed it. Normally what happens is when you try to find a reason to cover up for what you just did, you know. I thought you were a Christian. Yeah, well, I'm telling you. Yeah, you're right. I'm not. I don't approve of what took place, but I should have never said what I said. I apologize. It's over with. That's what the Master wants us to do. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, this is why I don't take the guy out behind the building and pump on him. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. Amen? He's telling me to do that. He's speaking to me. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. So now, we're outside of the church. He didn't say for brothers and sisters in the Lord. He's saying for all people. Seek after which is good for one another and for all people. So if I can twist it around just a little bit, let's go back to getting in the fair. What's fair to all people? A price of a mission that we all can prepare for to go and see the fair. And I know it's not in the Bible that thou shalt go to the fair, but I'm just saying that, okay, I don't mind paying my $2 extra that I pay that should be for rides. I don't ride, but at least you can ride, okay? And we have a thing going on with my retirement right now. We get a cost of living, 3%. They want to change it. They want to actually make it the cost of living. And the cost of living, since I've been retired 14 years, and 1 year has not been 3%. It's been like maybe 1.25, 1.5. And they're trying to save money. And they're asking opinions. What do you think? Should we make it the actual cost of a living, or should we stick with this 3%? Well, Starkey's thinking, man, I want that 3% because I get more money. I'm getting a pay raise, okay? But in reality, I want the pension to go on. So no, take it down. Just give me the cost of living. That I'm not losing any money, okay? That way, when you retire, Becky, there's money in there. Now, that's not the world's way of thinking. But that's what the Master, because my Lord said He'll provide all my needs, the rich and glory in Christ Jesus. And so, again, that's the way we change our way of thinking as Christ. And again, we give Him a reason to pour blessings on us. But don't repay evil with evil. And again, that's a training process. Huh?
It says, seek good for all people. That is hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can't be seeking good for all people, but sometimes what's good for them, they don't want it. You know what I'm saying? And that can step into another whole sermon about tough love and stuff like that, you know.
You'll know that person by love.
But you buy our love. And sometimes that love It's tough love at times. Amen. Amen. So I won't pile too much in that one. Got to be going on for a while. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's verse 18 of chapter 1 of Thessalonians, chapter 5. And everything give thanks. Wow. No, and sometimes, I think what happens at times, you think, how can I give thanks for this? Well, if you contemplate on the Lord long enough, Donnie, you can find something to thank Him for. You know, you can thank Him it wasn't worse. You know, or you can thank Him at least I had this long enough to enjoy what I did. You know, just, yes, He says to do that. Again, as we submit to Him, we draw closer to Him, He'll draw closer to us. And again, 2 Chronicles 7, I think it is, he talks about his eyes get to and fro to his children to see those whose hearts are really his that he can bless. So it seems funny. He wants to bless us just for being obedient. You know? My mom fed me if I was obedient, you know? Yeah, I don't know. You have a question, Karen?
No.
Okay, I was going to say something. Oh, no, you can scratch. That's fine. One more and I'll stop here. Do not complain, brethren, against one another. I'm right here on the paper, Carol. James chapter 5, verse 9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And do not complain against one another. And he goes back to the church. That the Word of God says, if you have aught with a brother and sister, go to them. Go to them and say, man, I need to talk to you. And share that with them. Okay? A true brother and sister in the Lord would never want to do anything to cause you harm. Amen? And never want to do anything to upset you. I really believe that. So, but there can times things are said jokingly, or things can be done just, and it hurts people, and we don't realize that. And that can start a wedge in a relationship. And when that takes place, Sonny, if I say something tonight, and boy, it upsets you, right away, come to me and say, Sergeant, I need to talk to you, okay? And let's get this thing settled before it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, because little things can grow into mountains. We make mountains out of molehills? Molehills. I knew it was some type of bug here, yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Don't speak against one another, okay? In fact, we should, to the point, refuse to hear a conversation that's degrading of a brother and sister, among yourselves. The only exclusion to that is your pastor. That's what one of the parts of a pastor does. You can come to me and complain about anything you want to. You hear me? I understand? You can come to me with a problem. What's the matter, Judy? Shaking your head like that. My land sakes. Don't complain about Karen. But you can. That's part of being a pastor. You come to me, I got this problem, I don't know what to do with it, this person. Well, okay. It's not degrading. You're looking for some type of resolution to it. And then we'll pray and seek the Word of God and let Him know, okay, God, what do you want us to do here? Okay? But otherwise, man, if someone does something and it hurts your feelings as a brother or sister in the Lord, go to them. Say, and you know, not in the middle of the church. Hey, Donnie, I want to talk to you a second, okay? No, just sometimes, hey, can I talk to you? Hey, you said this, and it kind of hurt my feelings, you know? I knew a gentleman one time who come to church been for years, and he'd always laugh about, he's kind of like me, we kind of got a little bicker in the belly all the time. Kept saying, it's kicking. Another month, I'm going to deliver my baby, okay? Just joking around about it. But then one day he came in the church and somebody looked at him and said, hey, that kid delivered yet? He got so mad. Talked to me at the church. He's making fun of me, I'm fat. I can't help it, I'm fat. I said, my friend, you joke about it all the time. He's just joking with you. all my lands. So I had to get the two together and got it resolved. But you know, that person is trying to be part of the church, part of the... And he just... Maybe it was a bad day for the fella, I don't know. But so it goes back to that. Goes back to make sure that nothing unwholesome comes out of your mouth. So then as we study, we find out that most people who are funny, hilarious, but they got a lot of problems that they carry from the past, you know. So we just, but when if something does come up and someone hurts your feelings, either come to the pastor and I'm not sure what to do with it, or go to that person, or have the pastor go with that person and resolve it right away. Because God doesn't want any division among his people, you know. If you got a bunch of kids and you get them fighting among themselves, man, that's chaos in the home. It's not fun to be around, is it? Well, we want to bring them together and resolve it. And God the same way in his house. But do not complain against one another, so you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. And so, again, God's watching everything we're doing. His word, we're judged by his word. So as we hear his word, submit to his word, follow his word, man, our life is going to be the way God wants it to be. Amen.